Let's read together Proverbs chapter 25, verses 15 through 28. Now, here in the second half of Proverbs chapter 25, we have more Proverbs of Solomon that were collected by King Hezekiah's editorial committee, as we saw in our talk on the first half of this chapter. Now, for background, let's look at verse 20. Like one who takes away a garment in cold weather, and like vinegar on soda, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. What does that phrase, vinegar on soda, mean anyway? The soda here is sodium carbonate or sodium bicarbonate, which is the same as baking soda. Now, did you ever pour vinegar on baking soda? When you pour vinegar on baking soda, you get a somewhat violent reaction. So now, what's the point of the proverb? It has to do with counseling and comforting others, especially those with troubled hearts. We need to be sensitive to those who may be grieving or hurting in some way. It would not be wise to drop into their hospital room, for example, and say in a loud, happy voice, "Hey, let's all dance around the room and praise the Lord and sing. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." That would have the same effect as taking the person's jacket away on a cold day. It would be making matters worse. Or it would be like putting vinegar on soda. Or, as the Living Bible puts it, like rubbing salt in his wounds. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal point for the Proverbs. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. Verse 15. By long forbearance, a ruler is persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks a bone. Which do you think can more effectively and efficiently break down the resistance of a ruler that is misusing his authority? Option number one, lose your temper and blurt out harsh words. Or option number two, speak calmly and gently and patiently and with self-restraint. You guessed it. Option number two. Think of a soft tongue breaking a solid bone, as we have here in verse 15. Quite a vivid illustration of how powerful and how effective a gentle approach can be. Verse 16. Have you found honey? Eat only as much as you need, lest you be filled with it and vomit. Too much of a good thing can be sickening. Now, this proverb applies to more than just food. Illustration. Margie gave me a week of skiing in Utah as a present when I received my PhD. A great present. I love skiing, especially in the powder snow of Utah. Well, for the first couple of days, I loved it. In fact, it snowed big time when I was there. I gorged myself on skiing powder snow. But by the end of the week, I was sick of it. I couldn't wait to get home. Can't wait to go back again either. The point of the proverb is not to overindulge in anything good. Let moderation in everything be your guide. This is wise advice for everyday living. Verse 17. Seldom set your foot in your neighbor's house, lest he become weary of you and hate you. In other words, don't wear out your welcome. Now, I think we can all appreciate this proverb because we have all probably groaned when we've seen certain ubiquitous people knocking at our door or showing up on our caller IDs. Well, let's not overstay our welcome with good friends. Limit your visits and you'll be invited back. Let your moderation be known in this area as well. It's been said that fish and visiting friends smell bad after 3 days. Verse 18. A man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a club, a sword, and a sharp arrow. All of the weapons mentioned in this proverb are deadly and can cause death. In the same way, false testimony and slander can critically wound a person and lead to death, both figuratively and even literally. Don't risk the Lord having to sternly discipline you for bad-mouthing another believer. The Lord's discipline will be more than a slap on the wrist. Verse 19, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. Did you ever try to chew with a bad tooth or walk on a sore foot? It's very painful and aggravating as well as inefficient. It affects everything you do. So is the person that you can't rely on. Unreliable people who say and promise to help you in times of trouble, but then do a no-show when you need them, can be very aggravating and painful as well as unproductive because the job never gets done. Verses 21 and 22. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Now remember, this is a proverb, and it's in the context of personal relationships, not national defense or law enforcement. We know that it refers to personal relationships because the Apostle Paul quotes these verses in Romans chapter 12, verse 20. I'm reading from Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, and now comes the quote from Proverbs 25, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. From Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21. Now, what does it mean when verse 22 says, for so you will reap coals of fire on his head? It either means that the person will experience the sharp pains of regret, like having burning coals on his head, or it has to do with the good practice of giving a neighbor whose home fires had gone out new burning coals to restart his fire. He would carry home this gift of burning coals in a container on his head. So we can't be sure of the exact meaning, but in any case, we can be sure that the Lord will reward us if we don't take personal revenge. Verse 23, the north wind brings forth rain, and a backbiting tongue and angry countenance. The point of this proverb is that certain events have inevitable results. Just as a north wind brings rain, you can be sure that if you gossip or slander or badmouth a person, you will receive anger in return. By the way, just because rain does not necessarily follow a north wind in our country does not mean that there is an error in the Bible. No. Where the proverb was spoken and written down is what counts. Verse 24, it is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Now, we're going to skip that one. No. We saw this same general truth brought out in Proverbs 21, verse 9. Do you remember that? Better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Proverbs 21, 9. Remember we said there that this proverb is in no way advocating divorce, no, but rather take time out and go to a different part of the house instead of continuing a verbal conflict. That would be good practical advice from this proverb. Verse 25. Now, verse 25 we'll look at for our practical application. Verse 26, a righteous man who falters before the wicked is like a murky spring and a polluted well. Think of a spring or well that you depended on for clear, refreshing drinking water in a barren land, but it has now been muddied by tramping animals or been poisoned in some way. How tragic. In the same way, think of a good, upstanding, righteous leader whom everyone looked to as standing for the truth and speaking out against moral evil. But now he has compromised his stand or capitulated in some area of doctrine or fallen into moral sin. How sad and how tragic. Yes, God can pick up the pieces, of course, but there will never be the pure, strong testimony that there once was. Verse 27. It is not good to eat much honey, so to seek one's own glory is not glory. Honey is good, but eating too much honey is not good, as we've seen back in verse 16. Well, what about the second line here in verse 27? So to seek one's own glory is not glory. Now, there are a couple of different interpretations because of various translations of this verse. In order for there to be a parallel structure here in the Hebrew poetry, in order for there to be a parallel structure with the honey of the first line, I think the main idea is that to receive honor from people for what you do is good, and it is not wrong to desire that and even delight in it as your reward for the good that you have done. But it is not good if your motivation and bottom line is self-glorification. Verse 28, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. If you don't have self-control, you are vulnerable and defenseless and will easily capitulate like an ancient city without walls. The good news here for the believer is that self-control is part of the fruit of the Spirit and is available to us if we walk by the Spirit. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. And that brings us now to our practical application for this second half of Proverbs 25. Give a cup of cold water. Give a cup of cold water. Look back at verse 25 once again. As cold water to a weary soul, so is good news from a far country. Now remember the historical context here. They did not have cell phones or email capability. So the news of how a battle went or the news of a person's well-being usually took some time and involved some anxious waiting. Thus, when the news was good, it was like cold, refreshing water to a thirsty soul. Now, let's apply this concept to the preaching of the gospel, as well as to encouraging servants of the Lord in distant lands. What a blessing it is to bring the gospel to a distant land where people have never heard the best good news. It is like giving a cup of cold water to a thirsty soul. Now think of our fellow believers who have gone to distant lands to serve the Lord. They need encouragement. Writing them a letter or sending them a financial gift can be very encouraging to them. Just to know that you are thinking of them and caring for them is very helpful and supportive. It's like giving a cup of cold water to a weary soul. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, that to give even a cup of cold water in Christian service will be rewarded. Matthew 10:42. So give a cup of cold water.